Welcome to fucking Candyland, hosted by Rampage and Gemini.
We are so excited that you're listening to us. If you want to elevate the experience and see these interviews on video, you can join either one of our Patreons. They are linked in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast episode, in addition to getting to watch the full-length video interviews. We also both have tons of additional content and support for the spiritual community. So go ahead and check those out. And then if you're ever interested in readings with us or personally connecting with us, we also have our websites and social medias linked in the description as well. Feel free to share this episode with everybody that you know. Get the Lick It Like a Lollipop name spread around, and we hope you love this episode.
Welcome back to Candyland. It is 2024. We have been doing the podcast now for 2 years, and it's amazing to me how quickly 2 years have flown by.
It's been 2 fucking years.
It's been 2 fucking years, and you know how I know that? We started this bitch in 2022.
Dude, what the fuck? That, like, oh my god, we did. It's been 2 years since we dropped it in May of 22.
So it's been 2 years, and we're still here giving all the content for free. We're still here basically helping people build an entire brand on what we say. And it's so beautiful to be the light bearer in y'all's lives.
I think it's fucking cool, the feedback that we get from the podcast too. And like, one of the things I've been the most grateful for is the feedback that we've gotten, because it's made me realize that like our voices matter, that my voice matters. And I mean, we've talked about it so many times, but when we first started, I just felt like nothing that I had to say was that valuable. And like, I had Coven, but Coven is all about amplifying other people's voices. And I make it a very strict point to not share any opinions. And so the fact that that's like broadened and we're able to have this like well-rounded conversations of different viewpoints with different people is like, that's been the most beautiful, is knowing that other people resonate with things that we say.
I love just being able to turn our conversations into podcast interviews, like to a podcast moment, because a lot of the shit we say is gold. And like, that was just going under the radar. People weren't getting that. But another thing that I love about the podcast is like, you really see your own personal growth when you're documenting it along the way, whether you're making content on TikTok or Facebook or wherever, you can truly see your growth. But on the day-to-day scale, it doesn't feel like much is changing. But then you get to the bigger scale of like 2 or 3 years later, and you're like, damn, I'm a different person now.
Yeah, I've been like, the TikTok does the on this day, whatever. And it like posts videos that you can look at that you've posted before. And there are a few videos that I've reshared, but there's so many videos that I'm like, that's not even me anymore. Like that stuff that I was talking about then that I was so passionate about, like, yeah, I was passionate about those things, but that was a moment in time. And I can see how it was like stepping stones. So it makes me so excited for what we have coming up this year, because we can look back and see all these stepping stones that we've taken to be where we are right now.
I've been really trying to live in the present moment and just like let go of like what next month is or what next year is, and just try to be in this moment. And the one thing that I look forward to every week is like connecting with you in our podcast zone, but then also like connecting with clients that we've been growing with for the last couple of years. Like a couple people have reached out, because I'm doing this thing now where all of my monthly clients are getting their readings like as soon as possible. I used to procrastinate it, but it's because there were so many dead weights around me that it was like draining me. So now, like, I'm getting all the monthly readings out in the first like week or two of the month, and I'm feeling so productive about it. But people are starting to give me the feedback of like, 2 years ago, I got my first reading with you, decided to sign up for your Patreon, and now here I am. And then I had someone else say, a couple of the things you said in this reading, Spirit told me earlier today. Like one girl, shout out Samantha, Spirit told her she needed to get a sound bowl. She's like, I literally ordered it this morning, and then your reading came through. And she was like, in the past, I would feel confused about what I was supposed to do. She was like, but now I feel like I know what you're gonna say before you say it. And I love that.
I love that by providing a space where like we're open to spirit and just communicating messages however they'll be and being like it doesn't make sense but it's like what you're supposed to do apparently, that then people have the confidence of being like, well, I've seen you deliver the message and have that faith, so I'll have that faith too. And then they end up fucking being all open to messages coming. And that's what your intuition is also. But so many, like the biggest question that I always get is like, well, how do I know what my intuition is? And I won't lie, there's been points where I'm like, this question fucking annoys me. But it's something that like everybody, it's only annoying because you're answering it 400 times. If all you do is make waffles and then everybody that you meet asks you how to make a fucking waffle, you're like, you mix the fucking shit with water, you pour it in the thing, you're good to go, you know?
The thing about intuition is like what I've been taught is that intuition is rapid. And if you think about it longer than like a minute or so, that like that's your thoughts and your ego or your fears or your programs. And that's why in my tarot class, I teach like the quick, rapid messages where like you may not feel comfortable at first giving a message in under 3 minutes, but you're going to. And when you do that, you learn to trust your inner voice rather than your inner fears or egos or like limitations. I think a lot of intuition is blocked by what we want. So that's why it's so important on the beginning parts of your journey to have a mentor, to have a spiritual person that you trust, because I've seen over the years where I've trusted people I shouldn't have, but I don't shame myself for trusting those people. It's a lesson. It's a spiritual lesson that not everybody that puts money in your face or books with you or supports you publicly actually supports you. And some people just want to get closer to you to figure out what you know that they don't, that they can now try to use against you. So I think the most important thing is like putting aside what you want and finding someone that you trust that can help you build up that trust in yourself. Because instinctively, you're not gonna say the first thing that comes to mind because you're gonna be like, a red barn? What the fuck is a red barn? Even though your client literally grew up on a farm and they had a red barn that they painted with their grandpa. You wouldn't know that, but if you didn't say it, they can't identify that message for you. So it's like building confidence, I feel like takes a commitment to your journey by working with a mentor, working with a practitioner, working with someone that you trust that can help you develop that.
See, and on the point that you're making about sometimes people just get close to you to like see what you're doing and take from you. And I think that a lot of times too, what happens is people are on this journey where they're trying to find like the healed person or whatever, and the person that's going to help them. And they put somebody up on a pedestal. And as you're getting closer with a mentor, you are seeing that they're just a human being. They are not a goddess. They are a regular person going through their own shit, and they tackle that and handle that spiritually, and they're showing those tips and those tools with you. And I think that a lot of times people don't realize how much energy they are taking from mentors and whatever by consistently expecting them to always vibrate high and to have that be only perfection that you're seeing. Like, if you only are seeing perfection, then that person's fucking lying to you. And that's where I think there ends up being fallouts with things, is because people put this expectation on other people. And I was thinking about that after I was listening to our last episode, and we were just kind of talking about things that we experienced the year before. And when I think about what what all of the situation had in common was it was all people who were telling us all the same thing. You always make me feel so happy. You always are so positive. You're always doing this. You're always doing that. And all of those people had the commonality of they wanted to be in the inner circle with us. They wanted to be really close friends. They wanted to know things behind the scenes. And as we got more comfortable and open, that's when it was like infiltrated. And I think that it's because we're actual real people. And it's like, no, it's not all bullshit. Like, this is everything that you were getting from the podcast before and like who we are as people. We're like actually that. And it's not fucking different.
I think a lot of people try to shield their own shadow. So then when you're freely loving your shadow, or you're freely like, yes, I could do this better, I'm improving, I'm elevating that, but I still fall back into old habits or whatever, they're like, what do you mean? You know, like they're not familiar with their shadow to admit when they're fucking up or when they're needing to improve. And they're not comfortable in their shadow in a sense that they need a community, or they need a relationship or a friendship or a job or whatever to distract them from their own insecurities and their own fears and their own limitations. And my favorite quote, and I'll say it a million times, real healing starts is when you're tired of your own shit. And a lot of times people don't want to fix their shit. So they get married, or they have a kid, or they get in a relationship, or they invest in a mentor that's supposed to fix all their problems or fix everything for them. And it's just really unfortunate how people limit their growth based on what they perceive to be the issue. It's like, no, baby, you can't see your own shadow right now. You need someone to identify that for you. Don't shoot the messenger. I don't know what you're mad at me about. Like, you need to heal in a community space because you were a mean girl, or you were this, or you were that. Like, a lot of times people put you in a situation, or spirit puts you in a situation, so that you can really work through those limitations. But instead, people shit the bed and they're like, I didn't do that. Yes, you did. You know, like, yeah, you did.
They don't want to pulling an Amber Heard and just leaving your little chocolate morsel right on the fucking pillow.
You know, that Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing, I still don't understand what they were distracting us from by airing that out like that.
No, but you know what is, there's a celebrity, I can't think of who it was, but they went as Amber Heard and their partner went as Johnny Depp. And I thought it was fucking hilarious. And they were like arguing with each other the whole night, like they had done like on the stand or whatever, with like little snide jokes. And people ended up like bashing them online, and they came out with an apology statement, and they're like, you're right, making fun of domestic violence is never funny. And I'm like, no, like making fun of domestic violence isn't funny. Talking shit about the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp thing is funny. Like, personal opinion, y'all can take that how you want to, but I know for a fucking fact that people were over here cackling about the shit.
I think that the weird obsession with celebrities has got to go, in my opinion. Like, if there's one thing that we could leave behind, is the weird obsession with people who have no fucking clue who you are.
Yeah, but I feel like I personally would have found that court appearance amusing, regardless of who it was. It could have been fucking SpongeBob and Patrick, although they're famous too. If I told you a non-famous person and we talked about this, nobody would give a fuck because they're not a famous person. Did you see that Bunny has Travis Barker's ex-wife on the podcast this week? And she's over here talking about the Kardashians, but Bunny, being the smart bitch that she is, literally bleeps out the name Kardashian from her fucking video.
So I did her yearly reading, and in her yearly reading, there was a mention of TMZ being a very, very prominent thing in her life this year. And then she shared that TMZ is already reporting on this interview. And she said, oh, hi, TMZ. And I literally was like, what did I say about TMZ? Like, I just gave you that reading like 2 weeks ago, what the fuck did I say about TMZ? And this is like the first time that TMZ's ever even acknowledged her podcast. And I knew it was coming. Like, I got cold chills. Like, I knew it, but it's going to be hella prominent this year. Like, one day, like, I think like maybe 6 months ago, she was like, TMZ doesn't care about us. We're not big enough. Okay, well, 2024 just knocked on the door, baby.
She's gotten 2,000 new subscribers on her Patreon in the last 24 hours. And yesterday, I was sitting on the couch and I said, yes, mommy, I'm trying to get some of that. And Brian's like, what? And I was like, Bunny just got 900 fucking Patreon subscribers. I was like, that's fucking crazy. And I was like, that's amazing. And then today it was 2,000.
You know, honestly, my favorite part is when she shared that is that she had 333 post, which is my number that I have tattooed. So I was like, what a fucking vibe. Like, the 333 post and the fucking whole situation. But my favorite part about her story is that she didn't think that this was possible and that it is possible. And, like, every day that she does something that, like, breaks the mold like that, I'm just like, yes. Yes, you did that.
It's so cool to watch it happen to someone that you've seen go through the highs and the lows and start something from the beginning. And I think that's why I have the respect that I do, is like, we have seen her from the beginning and then doing all these things that she didn't even realize she was going to do. And when you're talking about like not supporting celebrity, whatever, regardless of like what amount of fame she ends up coming into, I love that she's just always herself regardless. And she uses everything that she has to, not everything, but she gives back in so many ways, whether she puts it online or otherwise, you know?
When I say celebrities, I don't like, there's an umbrella term for that, but like, she's an icon. Like, she's moved past that. Like, she's not, we're not over here. Like, she's an icon.
We're now. Not mingling with the Kim K's. We're in our own lane.
Yeah, like, she's in her own thing. I don't know. I just think that the thing about Bunny is, no matter, like you said, how big she gets, she still acknowledges the little person. She still makes you feel special and seen. Like, when I look back to meeting her 4 years ago, I literally was no one. And I'd never in my life dreamed that this woman would want me on her podcast. So when she brought me on and then she's like, we got a new studio, I want you back, I was just like, Bunny sent me the Addy, baby, and I'm on the way to where she's at. Okay. Y'all can be over here on the internet, but I'm over here on the way. So I don't know. It changed my life, but I see her as like, just more of like a leader and a philanthropist, like an icon, rather than like these celebrities who hit billionaire status and don't do shit. You know what I mean? Like, what is Taylor Swift really doing with this money? What is Rihanna really doing with this money? Like, besides, like, what are y'all doing? Like, how, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that they're bad people or that you should have to give all your money away. That's not the case. But it's like, what are you publicly doing that's making the world a better place? Because I don't see it.
I mean, I see a lot of celebrity who use their platform just to boost like their makeup brand or their clothing that they do commercials for in the gas station that are the exact same thing that you could wear if you went to Goodwill and ripped up a shirt and pants for your own self. But I'll digress on that topic because people have spent $800 fucking.
I do want to speak on why celebrities cosplay being broke by selling people sweatpants and weird things that like are not fashion. They're just common things. And I have talked about this before, but they really do need to do a study on why broke people cosplay being rich by buying like fake designer stuff, and why rich people cosplay being broke by wearing sweatpants and whatever, but then also trying to sell you said sweatpants for $800. None of it makes sense. Like, I've just really tapped out on the illusion lately. Like, I just don't care. Like, I mute, I block, I unfollow.
I think that there's a "I'm just like you" element to it. And people who don't have much, they're always wanting to attain something more. And so they're wanting to fit in with, you know, groups, different types of groups. And the way that you're going to be able to do that is to be able to blend in most of the time, right? Because, like, generally speaking, a bunch of rich girls who can go out to a $400 dinner don't want to hang out with Betty, who's going to wear her overalls and can only spend $40 on dinner. And so if Betty doesn't wear overalls and she's got some fake Gucci and Chanel on, then, you know, you can weasel your way in. And I think that people who are wanting to, specifically that are wanting to sell you something and make themselves look cheaper because they're wanting to sell you something, it's so that they can be like, look, I'm just like you. I do, you know, I just happen to come into money. But we're, you know, I'm just like you are. I feed my dogs and I brush my teeth.
But they don't do that. Like, they don't even raise their own kids. Like, I just can't get behind, look at me, look at me, look at me. Like, I can't stand it. I personally have all the Kardashians blocked because I don't want to see their sponsored ads. I don't want to see their bullshit. And guess what solves that issue? I block them. If I see a Skims ad or Kourtney's fucking workout shit or Khloe's workout shit, whatever it is, I just be blocking and, like, I hit report ad and they'll say why and I'll say it's irrelevant. I do that all the time. That's one of my favorite things to do, actually. My favorite pastime is snoozing people for 30 days on Facebook. And when y'all come back, I snooze you again. My other favorite thing is blocking anyone who triggers me. Like, I just will not entertain it anymore. Like, it's not even that I care. It's not even that I'm mad. It's not even that I feel any type of way. I just don't want to see it and I don't care.
You better hope that fucking Kris Jenner never hears any of our shit, because she's going to sue us for you being like, I blocked them. They're irrelevant. She's going to be like, are you talking about my babies?
How could she?
My babies that give me 40%? Are you talking about my babies?
How could she sue me? I mean, it's public opinion. It's free speech.
I don't know. People sue coffee places because they spilled their coffee on themselves. And the coffee was hot. And they sued the fucking coffee place. I mean, crazy shit happens. If you slip on an icy sidewalk outside of a store, do you know that because it's on the store property, you have the legal right to sue them? What the fuck? Wear boots next time and not flip-flops.
One time when I was a kid, I was in, like, a Walgreens or, like, kind of like a pharmacy-style store. I don't think it was Walgreens, but they had catchers that weren't lined up correctly, so they were out in the aisle and I tripped and, like, fell, and I'm pretty sure my mom sued them. I don't know what
point.
I mean, fuck around, but that was actually because someone installed it wrong and they didn't choose to correct it. It wasn't that it was an accident, like, it literally was installed wrong. It was not right. I mean, I'm real big on get your money, baby. Get your fucking money. But one thing I will say that I think is really fucking crazy that people still do this. They take other people's brands, other people's logos, and they use those little circuit things and, like, reproduce something, like, that's not theirs, like a logo that they've stolen. And I mean, my logo got stolen and Shein made a fucking shirt on it. So, like, I know how it feels for a big box company that you don't have the money to sue to steal your shit. And you can't do nothing about it except order the shirt and look at it and be like, wow, this is my logo.
Did you know that the skeleton with flowers from my logo is now on Canva? And did you know that there's another creator that made a very similar one after I'd already posted mine and Canva put the skull on Canva?
That's what I'm saying. Like, once you put anything out onto the internet, whether it's a modeling picture, it's a logo, it's a brand, it's anything, they own it. That's in Instagram and Facebook's bylaws. When you post onto their platform, they could literally take my face and plaster it on a billboard and say, join Facebook. And I can do nothing about it if I posted that on Facebook because they now own it. Same thing with the AI things. Like, when people download these little AI generators and you put your fucking picture in there, you know, down the road, whenever they don't want to pay extras for movies anymore, that your ass is going to pop right up and you're not going to get paid for it. And you're going to be an extra in a movie because it's dummies, because they don't want to pay real people anymore. Where they used to do casting calls and things like that, you loading your information into that is giving them permission to use it.
I've never done any of the AI things. I found people's videos on TikTok of the like AI trying to build your photo out. So you'll like be in, like it'll just show like your face or something. And then AI tries to guess what your surroundings were in that picture and it zooms out. And it gets some crazy shit. And I don't want to be a part of that. I have enough fucking experiences that happen in the astral. I don't need to have crazy psychedelic trips here in the earthland with AI either.
The one thing that I like on the AI on TikTok is like when it's like cover your camera and then it like shows something. I do that. Sometimes it'll be like, what's your spirit animal? Cover your camera. Or it'll be like, how many stairs do you have to heaven? Cover your camera. Whatever. I'll do those. I've never seen that. Yeah, I do those sometimes, but I don't post them. I put them in my drafts. But the thing for me with AI is it's really, really difficult for people to put their art and put their energy and things out there. So for a database to be storing this and stealing it and putting it on Canva or putting it places, like, it's discouraging because I've seen someone, a local girl in Kentucky, she makes ornaments and she made like a Taylor Swift ornament and Walmart stole it and put it on their website. And it wasn't Walmart per se because vendors sell through Walmart.com, but it's like a vendor selling through Amazon with stolen card decks or stolen whatever. There was nothing she could do about it because it's fucking Walmart at this point. Like, she's a small creator. And she was just saying, like, how much energy and time she puts into a design that, yes, it's $30 or yes, it's $40. And then Walmart can reproduce it for $15 and make you look like the bad guy because now I can get it over here for $15. Yeah, because they didn't put any of the legwork in. They didn't have to create it. They're duplicating it. And that's what blows my mind just in general with like the AI thing, especially when it comes to like movies and stuff, because y'all have already ran out of ideas. Like, all we get is recycled ass content. You want to remake a movie from the 80s three times and it's only 2024. Like, we do not need three remakes. If we're going to make a remake, it needs to be better than the first one. And what I'm finding is that it does not matter what the movie is. If it doesn't get me in the first 10 minutes, I'm back on my phone. Like, my attention span for movies is so low. And we talked about this on Facebook, and I got a shit ton of responses on that. So it's like, for one, when I be sharing stuff and y'all don't comment on it, I know y'all saw it. Because when I ask y'all dumbass questions, 57 people replied. But it's like, to know that 95% of the people that commented also have no attention span for movies just goes to show you that you're not making good content. There's not good content. So if you think a computer or alternate intelligence is going to do that, I don't think so.
I get bored. Like, I put things on for the background at this point because I'm fucking bored. I don't want to sit here and pay attention to what you're doing. I also just feel like the standard for actors has gone down. Like, I used to feel like movies, and correct me if I'm wrong, but movies and actors were supposed to make you feel like you were connected to the story, that it's like realistic, not, I don't know. I just don't like it anymore. I sit there and I like can't get involved in what's going on because I don't believe your performance. And then if I do, then I'm telling everybody about it and everybody's already binged it. And now we've binged the one good thing that's coming out. So thank you. Currently I'm watching The Crown. I'm on season 5. I'm waiting for them to give Diana the good old Axarooski. I've been waiting the whole show just to find out how they do her death scene, because rumor is that the queen had like organized it, played a part in it. But I'm wondering if they're actually going to say that inside of the show. And I know that the queen used to watch the show, so it'd be interesting.
I personally am just not interested in what Hollywood has to offer these days. It's just like nothing about it is inspiring. And then you've got Netflix Which is so weird because I'm on someone else's Netflix. And then they also signed up and said I'm part of their household. So it'll let me be on there for like a week and then it
Yeah.
won't let me on there. And then it let me back on there last night. And I'm like, I don't get it. But the only streaming service that ain't got shit on none of y'all is Stars. Stars has the fucking banger movies on there right now. Like, watch Step Brothers the other night for the thousandth time, watch the Twilight series the other weekend ago. Rewatched Hunger Games, like tap in, baby, because Stars, they're not playing. Like Netflix will be like, here's episode or here is movie one and movie five. Good luck on finding two, three, and four. But Stars is like, no, here's everything. Here's all of it.
Yep.
It's crazy.
I love Stars. Have you watched the show Outlander? Watch Outlander because I think that you would like it. Yeah. There's a yummy dude in a kilt in Outlander. And it's fucking hot.
You know, I personally wish there were more shows that interested me. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a Pretty Little Liars girl. That show fucking sucked me in and spit me out. And it ended like shit. Like, it was such a good show until they actually had to tell you who A was, and then it was trash. It was like, there's no way that was A, or I would have known that was A. There's no
Exactly.
human possible way that could have been A the whole time. That's stupid.
And then
But
they only
then,
show like two examples of how that was a same thing with Gossip Girl, but continue.
you know what I mean, though? I feel like shows do really good in the middle, but when they have to wrap it up and actually make it mean something, they drop the ball every time. Like Riverdale, I fucking love that show. The first episode, like, it hooks you all the way in, and I almost want to rewatch it. But then it's like they lost themselves somewhere in the middle. And then at the end, we end up in the 1950s, and they're like, no, it's going to end in the 1950s. Like, how? Like, we started over here. How did we time warp to the 1950s and that's where the shit ends? It's so stupid. Like, I don't know. Like, shows drop the ball. Like, that You show. Did you watch that You show on Netflix? The
Yep.
final season is coming. And I just realized I never even finished season four because it just lost me.
That's what happened to me.
It was so
I
bad.
was so into it. It was so fucking good. I was like, oh, season four. And season four came out in two parts. And I always had watched the first part and then was like, oh my God, the second needs to come. I didn't even finish the fucking first part because I was just like, this is not, what are we doing?
Yeah. I watched a majority of it, but then I saw it because Netflix let me back on there that I didn't finish like the last two episodes of season four because I just literally was like, this is trash. I don't know. Like, TV, the way they recycle the same storylines over and over again just gets on my damn nerves. And unfortunately, I cannot find anything I actually like, which is probably spirit like, bitch, go meditate, go read a book, like, turn the shit off. But it's just like, why would I pay 20 plus dollars for this? Like, no streaming service has ever hooked me where I actually want to spend my own money on it, period. Like, I just don't. I don't. If I had to, I wouldn't watch anything because there's nothing on there anyways. I feel much more comfortable knowing that no money came out of my bank account for me to play this background noise.
You need to watch Dexter. Have you seen Dexter?
Some.
Dexter was good. I like Dexter more than I liked you, I think. Also, the Bates Motel. Have you seen that?
That's so creepy, though. He was like cuddling his mom, some weird ass shit. I was like, I can't. I turned that off. I couldn't.
Okay, but you have to watch the whole thing before you just turn it off.
It's incest, though. There was like incest stuff.
No, but that, but I can't give anything away and give you details, but things are not always as you think they are. And this actually had a really one of the best endings to a show or movie that I've probably ever experienced.
Really.
Yes.
It's been a while since any show has really hooked me in. Like, just a long while.
Outlander and Bates Motel. I need you to hop on that shit. Outlander's on Stars, which is what made me think of telling you about it. And yes.
I'm trying to think of like a good show I really liked. Like, it took me forever to watch Breaking Bad, but then when I finally did, I was like, why the fuck didn't I watch this? It's so good. But it's a slow show. Like in the first couple episodes, I was like, eh, his wife gets on my nerves, and then proceed, and you get to like season two, and I'm like, damn, this is good. But I don't know, like, it's weird, but when things are popular, I refuse to participate. And then the moment that they're not popular, I'm like, okay, I can see it. Same thing with like Twilight. I would not watch it when it was popular. Did not care at all. And then now I love it.
The Twilight for me, I read the books before they were popping off and super popular. Like, I remember I got the first two books at the library. And then when I went back, I couldn't get any of the other ones. And the lady's like, oh, they're super popular. And then I think her series completely wrapped up before they started making any of the movies. And by the time the movie came out, it was, oh my God, I love the book so much. And then it's like a weird, like, cult following type thing because the movies were nothing like the books. So, like, I like the movie and I like the book, but you can't even equate them together because Edward Pattinson is not the fucking dude described in the Twilight books.
Robert Pattinson,
What did I say?
Edward Pattinson, you gave him his stage name and his
Yeah, you
real
know what
last
I
name.
meant. You know what I meant.
The thing that I have heard a lot of critics and people talk about is like how bad the acting is in Twilight. And if you rewatch it,
That's
what's her
awful.
name? What's her name that played Bella?
Kristen Stewart.
Her acting is terrible. Like, the whole time in that movie, it's like she's constipated or something. It's like she's like, I don't know even how to explain it, but rewatching it, it's like the first two suck, but then you get to like the last two and it's like, okay, it's got good. And I feel like the same thing with the Hunger Games. Like the first one had so much potential to be really good. It was good, but her acting evolved because that was like her first major role. And she's from Kentucky. So like people I know, she babysitted their kids. And like I know people who knew her. Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence, like she lived here. And
Katniss Everdeen.
yeah. She did. But I don't know. Like, I mean, the fact they casted Lenny Kravitz in that movie, just so random, like, just super
Yeah, but
random.
he
But
was so good.
he's fine. He's been fine. For sure.
You know what? Paul Wall's making this like comeback right now, and it keeps coming up on my TikTok, and it's only grills. It's only grills, but the comments are like, Paul Wall's always been that fucking dude. He can hit this. His wife is so lucky. Damn, he's still fine. And every time I see him in that fucking video, the angle, he looks so short. And I'm like, I can't get behind the comment section when we're under 5'2" in the video.
You know, when you look back at like that era, the grills era, like as soon as I got adult money, your girl bought a grill. And I like probably like 4 or 5 years ago at this time, I was wearing that motherfucker. And I look back at me and I'm like, who are you? And why did you get a bottom six? Because I don't know. I don't know. I've never
That
wear
was before you were getting your lips done too, huh? So you had this fucking grill on your bottom row and these little lips.
girl, I don't even know where my top lip was. I didn't even have a top lip. I should have got the top because you'd seen it 24/7. Like when I look back to the evolution of who I am now and like where I've came, I look so crazy 5 years ago. Like not only was I drinking all the time and doing street drugs and partying and all that, like I was depressed and I was like in toxic relationships and in toxic cycles. So when I look at the glow up, I not only look at it from like a physical standpoint, but an energetic standpoint. Like the shit that the old me was willing to settle for or even accept is beyond me. It's fucking beyond me. 'Cause now the first time communication ain't up to par, I'm like, look, we need to talk about this. Or like, if it ain't working, I need to know. Like, I need to talk to you about it. Like, I don't wait. I don't beat around the bush. Like, I'm just like, we need to air this out. But the old me was just, it's just so weird when I look back at that. Like, why did you get a bottom six? Like, I don't get it. I don't know why. I was like, you know what I'm gonna do with my adult money? I'm gonna buy a grill. What? This is not 1999.
I don't know. When you were talking about like how you're gonna be like straight up about like what you're thinking, feeling now in your evolution, it just made me think of like our text messages because on from like my perspective on my end, I'll be like, no, fuck them, fuck that, fuck him, that's stupid, no, absolutely not, stand your ground with that, I don't think so, this isn't right. And then you'll be like, so I'm doing this thing over here that's like the opposite of what I said. And I'm like, yeah, girl, that's so exciting. Don't do you. So supportive. I'm like, don't fucking do it. And you're like, well, I did it. And I'm like, yeah, you did. You go.
She's like, the thing about Gemini is it depends on what mood she's in when you ask her certain things. So like, if she's like, fuck everyone. And I'm telling her like, hey, this happened and it's not really working for me. Yeah, fuck them, drop them, don't even talk to them. And then if I'm like, well, we talked about it and everything's going good, she's like, he's great. I'm like, he listened to the podcast. She's like, we love him. But 2 hours ago, she's like, he did what? Like, I don't know. The way that Gemini set up, it's like, it depends on A, did she have coffee? Is her kid screaming? Did she go to the office today? Did a bill come out of her checking account today? Because if any of those like things happened, don't ask her for advice today. Like, just don't even come to her for advice at all. And then like, she'll write me and be like, I'm in a mood. And then I'll be like, what's wrong? And then we'll start talking and like, she's not even in a mood anymore. Like, she's not anymore. Like, earlier she's like, I'm gonna lay down, I don't feel good. And I was like, I wrote you and I said, hey, and you just said, hey.
I feel better. I did. I laid down. I puffed on a little cannabis. I'm sitting here fine. My ears have been ringing the whole time that we've been talking. So we just must be on like a fucking frequency together or some shit. I came prepared with my beanie and a robe and water and a pen. Like, I didn't just sit here. About 15 minutes or so ago, my kid came in the door while you were talking, because I set him up with Animal Documentary while we were talking. And he goes, Mom, I just saw a whale eating shark. Then he closed the door. And so I was sitting here trying not to bust up laughing because it was just like so cute.
You know, I love the fact that like whales have been destroying yachts and like attacking yachts and boats. I think that's great. Like, they're really doing a step for mankind here, because rich people should not be able to buy a fucking huge ass yacht and write it off on their business. I'm sorry. It should be illegal.
What gets me is that my family wanted to go whale watching for years on a fucking boat in because we lived in Monterey, and they would come and visit and they wanted to go. And I was like, absolutely the fuck not. The whales are going to tip your boats over. You're going to get eaten in the fucking sea. I'm not having anything to do with that. That doesn't happen. Whales can't flip over boats. Whales are gentle animals. No, the whale just hasn't flipped your fucking ship yet. It could happen. And then now, look what's happening out in the fucking wildlife.
Yeah, because whales are sick of people's shit. They're sick of shit. They're over it. And they're not going to settle. They're not settling, you know?
They're like, you're killing our fucking turtles. I'm tired of finding your plastic straws. I'm trying to eat this shrimp.
They know their worth and they have boundaries now.
Fact. I'm going to pull the human design card like before the end, because I got feedback from that episode and they were like, no, I really do like when you pull the card in the middle, because then you guys can discuss it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just your cult leaders here with a message.
She's now sucked me in, you all.
You tagged me the other day. Every cult leader. Well, I'm going to have to fuck your wife.
Literally, it was a meme and it said every cult leader in history is like, well, now I'm going to need to fuck your wife. But no, what it was, God wants me to fuck your wife.
Yeah, God wants me to fuck your wife. Oh, fuck. And then your friend Steven commented and he goes, wait, isn't Gemini a cult leader though?
Because I tagged y'all both. Because like, I always tag him and stuff. But I had to tag you both. Because it was hitting different.
Oh my God. Okay. Card number 15. The sign is Gemini and Cancer. The gift is... I just showed you.
What did it say? What's the name?
Magnetism. Sorry. Knew I was missing something. Magnetism. So the sign is Gemini and Cancer. The gift is magnetism and the shadow is dullness. The energy of magnetism brings with it a rhythmic coalescence with the heartbeat of life, of the earth, and of every living and breathing organism. As such, even the most mundane and ordinary activities transform into opportunities for expansion and meditation. Life itself is a spiritual quest in the places where no one seems to look, like in a handshake, a smile, a walk, or your inner dialogue. You don't live just for the peaks and valleys, but for the space in between. You are multifaceted and spirited. Thanks to your capacity for unconditional love, others feel compelled to live out their truth, whatever that may be. Your shadow is dullness. Where do you resist life? There is a fear within this shadow of falling victim to a repetitive, dull existence. It is through this resistance that you might try to avoid the space in between with mechanisms of distraction rather than embracing the void. Move through the shadow by accepting all of life with full vigor, even the apparent dullness. This shift will allow all moments to blossom and bear fruit. Your themes are truth, spectrum, acceptance, and the void.
I liked how the front of the card said miracles, too.
Do you believe in miracles? What did it say? Oh, it does say miracles. How did you read that?
Because you zoomed in on it and you didn't tell us what the card was, but I just could see miracles.
You have, like, excellent radar spotlight vision because that shit looks dark as hell to me. How did you see that? Because I didn't even focus on that part.
You were zoomed in. I just saw miracles. Miracles is, like, a keyword for me this year.
Okay.
I just want to say that anybody has the capability to change their life, to change their focus. Like, you don't need anything but the want to change. And, like, miracles really do happen naturally. Like, when we get out of our own way, we get out of our own head, we are absolutely attracting trauma and pain and anguish into our life. So you can absolutely attract prosperity and abundance and healing into your life. Like, we sign up for different elements on this journey, period. And a lot of times people get so stuck in one element that they don't see a way out. They don't see a way out to the next chapter. And I just always want to remind everyone, it's not about what's happened. It's about what you're going to do with that. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing about it? Are you wallowing in it? Are you blaming your parents? Are you complaining and, you know, suppressing these feelings with drugs and alcohol? Because that's what I used to do. And I had no issue with that. I thought, these are my people. These are my homies. That's my roadies. I'm going to be with these motherfuckers forever. And then you look around one day and you're like, wow, these people drag me down. Like, these people do not serve me. These people are not in my highest and best interest. And when I chose to break away from that and choose a sobriety journey and focus on me and celibacy and all the things I did, I look back and now those same people are still fighting for their life, like, still trying to break that cycle. And although, like, I know it's possible, they can't do it in the same environment that got them sick, the same environment that makes it, you know, attract to them. Like, you have to be willing to say, you know what, I would rather eat alone than pull up a seat at the wrong table. And we talk a lot of shit on here, but it's really true that, like, both of us have overcome a lot of issues and a lot of self-proclaimed issues that we projected onto ourselves. And it is very real that you absorb that from your family and whatever, but you also get really amazing things from your family and from your ancestors. Like, it's not all trauma. You also get gifts and abilities. And I think that sometimes we just need that light. We just need to see that it's possible. And, you know, we talk everything about Bunny because she's so inspiring. Like, how could you not look at her story and be inspired? Like, if you don't look at her story, and be inspired, you need to go back and read it again, because she's one of the most inspirational people in my life, because she does not give a fuck what you think about her story. It's her story, and she's going to tell it how she wants to tell it. And that's what I want all of you all to do, is like, stop trying to fit the mold and break that and get out of the box and unlock yourself from the cage and just be yourself.
I think that people feel so stuck inside of their life, and you can blame other people for like, oh, well, my spouse isn't like positive enough and whatever, and so I don't feel like I can be positive, or I don't, you know, or they don't like this, and so now I don't like this. And literally, you think people think that they have to completely leave all situations that they have going on in their life that they don't like in order and like do a complete 360, when in reality, you can start cleansing the energy of your home and doing little things and doing simmer pots so that you're bringing new energy into your home and it's affecting everybody in your space. And, you know, you can start doing all of these different things for bringing in what you're needing in your life, and you can affect people around you positively by just taking care of yourself. And somebody was talking to me recently, self-care came up in their reading, and they're like, yeah, but like, I don't ever have like the money for self-care, or that's like a big thing for me, and I don't know how to take care of myself. It doesn't feel relaxing. And literally, self-care can be you cleaning your kitchen and lighting a candle. It can be you taking the time to fold and put your own clothes away so that you don't feel like you're living in chaos. And by doing things like that, you change the entire atmosphere that you're in, which changes your energy and helps to change the energy of people around you that are already in your home, that come and visit your home. And those examples that I'm giving are because those are things that like I'm really working on, and that I've been really paying attention to. And it's been really helpful to tackle things in my immediate life, as opposed to trying to manifest all this amazing stuff in the future. Well, when I get here, I'll do this. When I get there, I'll do that. Well, no, I'm right fucking here now. So I need to take care of all the things around me and recharge so that I'm prepared for if things happened more for me.
And I really support that, because a lot of people underestimate what a clean and organized environment means for productivity. Like, I know for a fact that I just sleep better if my sheets are clean and like I feel comfortable in my space. If I have shit everywhere and dishes in the sink and all these things, whenever I get done doing readings all evening, I'm not gonna feel like doing that. But if I do it prior, when I get done with what I have to do in the evening, I'm gonna feel very motivated and rested and excited to seize the day. But if you wake up and you know you have a million things to do and you're not doing them, you're neglecting your own peace of mind. And peace starts within the home. Unfortunately, as children, we didn't always have the option to influence our home and our environment and what we wanted and what we didn't want. But as adults, you 1000% are in control of your environment when it comes to those factors, like you just said. And I think that people underestimate what that will do for you, because maybe it seems like such a daunting task. Like right now, my next task is I really want to organize my art stuff so I know where everything is, rather than just put into a closet, and actually get back to making art. But it's baby steps. Like, I haven't gotten in that spurt yet, but I'm one of those people that like 2 a.m. I can't sleep, and now I'm cleaning out the cabinets. Or like fucking 3 a.m. I'm doing random shit. Like, it's always at a random time. So I just always encourage people that when you get that surge of energy, it's worth being tired tomorrow to get everything done today, or get everything done on a Thursday so that you can enjoy your weekend. And we have just misconstrued what self-care is. Because literally, self-care could be taking a long hot shower and putting oil and lotion on and a face mask and literally chilling. Like, I can tell a difference in my nightly routine if I put lotion on or don't put lotion on. So lotion for me is like a non-negotiable. I'm putting lotion on. I don't care if it takes an extra 15 minutes. I don't care if I'm tired. I'm doing it. But some people, like, they wonder why they're uncomfortable and itchy. It's like you need some lotion or you need to take care of your body. But so many people neglect themselves and then they're mad at the world because they're unhappy. But it's like it all starts within your environment. How you can dictate your day goes on how organized you are, how, you know, punctual you are. Some people literally set themselves up for failure every morning. Like if you know you want to hit snooze a few times, pick out your outfit for tomorrow. Make your lunch. Make your kids' lunch. You know, have things lined up. Have your kids' outfits lined up. Because I know some people tell me like in the morning it's chaos every morning. That's because you've set yourself up for that. Yes, you have a 3-year-old. Yes, you have a 10-year-old. It's going to be crazy. But if you knew what they were going to wear and what you're taking for their lunch and what you're doing before you did it, you knew the backpacks are by the door. Shoes are right here. It's going to make your morning easier and you're going to ease into relaxation rather than chaos. But so many of us are just so used to chaos, like to running late, to rushing around, to eating because eating something unhealthy because we didn't plan or because we need to go to the grocery and we know we won't want to. Or same thing with the gym. You know, it's always a commitment and you have to be the one that's holding yourself accountable and like reparenting your inner child. Because deep down, if that's not something that comes easy for you, you're going to have to push yourself to do it. And I know for a fact, like in the winter, my body just wants to rest. And in the summer, I'm like ready to go. So in the winter, it's harder for me to stay in routine, but that's when it's most important because it takes like, I think 21 days to start a new habit, but it literally only takes 3 days to fucking break that progress. Mm-hmm. Go back to old ways. So it took you 21 days to make it happen and it takes you 3 days to reverse it. That's fucked up.
Okay, so like more personal business. I feel this a lot, multiple things that you were saying. So the easiness when it comes to like food, yes. Also, that being its own like total comfort thing when you have trauma, like it becomes its own whatever. There was another point that I wanted to make to something that you were saying. The having to have things be like 21 days in order for it to be a new habit for you. And I have to really do that with food now, like we were talking about before we got on here. And that's something that like I always, always have felt like I have to do it for 3 weeks and then I'm good. Like it gets everything funky out of your body at first because you'll feel fatigued. Your head always hurts. You always feel hella thirsty, hella munchy. Like your body's like, what the fuck is happening? It's like you're going through withdrawals. And then once you're 3 weeks in, you're like, well, I've made all of this progress over here and I'm not going to fucking go back on that now. So I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. And if we just took small little things inside of our lives and focused on that being what we're going to be working on, and instead of trying to put our energy into so many different things, because we all are always making new choices and starting new projects, but we're seeing 1% of them 21 days through. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, as a society, they keep us so drained and overworked and overstimulated that like it's really fucking hard to start a new habit or to create time in your routine or in your daily life to average that in. But that's why like making a commitment to yourself and holding yourself accountable. Like this is where reparenting your inner child is so important in this dynamic, because a lot of us, we didn't have that support or we didn't have that guidance, and we have to have that as adults.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. And there's so much evolution that you find as you're becoming an adult, because we can look back and we can be like, well, my parents did this and my parents did that or whatever. Well, we all have something that we did like and something that we didn't like, and something that when we were kids, we were like, I would never do this thing as an adult. And recently for me, I've realized that like, I'll ask my mom her opinion on parenting and something, and that ends up then opening it up to Now you know I want your opinion, and so now it's open to criticisms. And so I've had to learn recently that we can move on from past things and we can look ourselves without needing to have somebody else's justification and approval for what we're doing. And so many people are like, I don't want to parent the way that my parents did, but I really take my parents' opinion to heart when they're talking about my parenting. Well, you didn't want to fucking do it the way that they do it anyways. So what does it matter? You're going to be disappointing one way or another. You disappointing and miserable, or disappointed and feel like you're doing the best you can for your kid.
Well, that goes back to the big thing of like, stop asking for directions from people who are not going where you're going. Like, we like to ask for people's opinion and then get our feelings hurt when it doesn't align with what the answer is that we thought we wanted. And it's just really big on like, if they're not on the journey that you're on, you're not going where they're going, or you don't want to be like them, quit asking for people's opinions on it. Like, you know, you really don't want to ask for business advice from someone who doesn't have a fucking business. I mean, bless my mom, we're healing and working through things. But whenever me and Jim and I started the podcast, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to fund some things and I'm going to do it on my end. And my mom was like, you can't trust that girl. And I was like, what do you mean? I mean, what? And she's like, you don't know her. You can't trust her. And I'm like, Mom, I'm going to invest on a fucking website and do a couple little things. Like, it's not a big deal. And she's like, you don't even know her. It's just so funny because she was so serious that I couldn't start a business with someone I didn't know, never met, lived across the country, because I couldn't trust them. And it's just so funny because, you know, we had the near-death experience in Utah and we've went through all these things in our circles and communities and whatever. And it really has shown that, like, deep down, you are one of the only people I can trust in that space. But my mom was just so, like, in that limited mindset of, like, you don't know this person that well, or you just met this person, or you've never met this person. And, you know, my mom's real big on that. But the thing is, like, my mom doesn't have a business. My mom doesn't have a lot of close friends. My mom really can't give me advice on a business because she's never had a business. Like, she has no business giving me advice on a business, you know? So it's just, I don't know, like, that was her, like, defense mechanism, and, like, nothing against her. But at the same time, that's small-minded energy. Like, me investing $100 into our business before we made any money, it wasn't a big loss. It wasn't a big gain. It was just an experiment that has worked out. That's now 2 years in running of a brand that we've built together. So it's like, don't let people who are not going where you want to go give you advice. A lot of people ask their parents who have failed marriages for marriage advice, or, you know, parenting advice, whatever it is. It's like, you have to be aware that they're going to project onto you their limiting beliefs.
Yeah. And it's so hard not to do, especially when you're still seeking approval in some kind of way, or still like, I just want them to be proud of me, or whatever, which is something that I struggled with for a while. And I'm like, but for what? Like, whether you're proud of me or not, I'm making the same choice. Obviously, I can either be annoyed by you because you won't get on the fucking ship, or I can just fucking leave, you know?
I don't know. I'm just like, so many people are so in fear about what their parents want for them, or like think about them. And honestly, until I was like 26, I was living in that shadow, like afraid to get tattoos that I wanted. That's the one thing that my parents were kind of hindering me from. And then now that I started just getting tatted up, my dad's like, I think I want to start a sleeve. My mom's like, do you think your friend could tattoo me? Like, it's just funny because when you finally become unapologetic about who you are, you're just like, this is me. You're going to either like it or love it or whatever, because I'm going to do me. Then people start catching on and they're like, you know what? Paige is living the experience I wish I could have lived, but I lived in fear, but I hid my true self or whatever. And that's why, like, the internet can be so eye-opening on all the different ways that you can live your life, or it can really be crippling because you're judging yourself on where you think you should be based on someone else's progress. And a lot of the people in the spotlight didn't get in the spotlight till their mid-30s or 40s. And so I don't know why people are like 25, 26, and we're all in this crippling like fear about who we're becoming or what we're supposed to do, you know?
Yeah.
At 31, I feel like I have more freedom emotionally than I've ever had before, like that I ever had in my 20s. In my 20s, I was so worried about how what I was doing was going to make other people feel or how certain things were going to play out. And now it's like, I got health insurance, a 401k, baby. I got a health savings account. Like, I have everything that my parents wanted me to have and more by being myself, by doing what I want to do. And I just want to encourage everyone, like, get the tattoo, start the business, go bungee jumping, whatever it is. Like, go do something because you want to do it, not because there's rules or regulations behind it. Like, just go do it. Stop asking for directions from people you don't want to be like, because if their end game isn't where you want to be, you should not ask them for directions. Like, that's why I said earlier, I love watching people who are authentic come up and build a platform on authenticity, because you can't take what they're going to do until they make their move. You can't make your next move until they make theirs. And that's the cool thing about a podcast or content or whatever, is you can watch the evolution of yourself. Meanwhile, other people are trying to mimic what you're doing because it's working. And that's how you win. Mic drop.
Mimic what you're doing because it's working. Listen, I'm so fucking annoyed with dusty, crusty, musty, busty bitches over here taking exact quotes that they're getting, taking full-on logos. Like, it takes effort, time, energy, sourcing somebody to create a logo, having something done, like having redos of it, like so much energy and like symbolism that goes into shit, whether or not you think it looks like a pair of lips or it just looks like a skull or what. Like, everything has a symbolism and a reason behind it. And when you just take it and make it like it's your own fucking thing, whether it is, I mean, listen, I'm not surprised that Canva or whatever, you've had literally the lips, your exact cherry and lips put on Shein shit, like stuff gets taken and circulated in the world. Okay. But there are people who are literally like close to our communities doing the shit and just thinking that nobody will ever find out. And I just have to get to the point where like, it doesn't bother me, because there is going to be a day where like, maybe right now you're the person who's in the light and who has more following, is boosted up, whatever. And your voice is a little bit more amplified and you're reaching different people, but you're not going to be the only one in that light soon. And we're fucking coming up on your ass, and people will eventually notice that your full moon advertisements are the exact same font, everything, day of the week, time zone that we're doing. They're going to notice that you've taken direct quotes of things that we've posted from our podcast that's date stamped, time stamped. And they're going to be like, oh, that's who they've been talking about. And I promise you, we've already talked about it behind the scenes. When the day does come that that fucking happens and everybody's realizing the people that it is and who it is, we're never going to confirm nor deny who the fuck it is, because everybody can get it.
You know, when we got timestamps of the fucking content, you can't make it up. Like, you may have a bigger following now and you may be able to get away with it, and that's great. I hope it works for you. But at the same time, I can't stand a bitch who's like, I don't show my alters to anyone, and this dumbass shit. It's like, okay, cool. But you're gatekeeping because you want people to need you. You're afraid that someone could look at your altar or look at a photo of an altar and do what you're doing and mimic what you're doing. Like, no, baby, you're not that special. And I promise you that if your shit is that fragile, you shouldn't be doing spell work for other people. You shouldn't be doing things for other people. But I just am real comfortable in the fact that, like, the divine knows our intentions are pure. My intention really is to help people have their own power source so that you don't need me, you don't need Gemini, you don't need anyone, you've got yourself. I think that when you can learn to collaborate and like credit people, I think crediting people is important, to be like, yes, I got this idea from that person, but I'm going to expand on it in my own way. beautiful, amazing, you're going to win. But you will lose, and karma will catch up to you if you continue stealing and manipulating people into believing that you're the creator of something. And, you know, the weirdest thing ever is the people who are like, they hexed me or they did this, are people that, like, aren't even on my radar and I don't care about. Like, I would never in my life waste my energy to hex someone when I could just return your crusty energy back to you times 10. And then you're going to do your own work. Like, you're going to fail on your own. But so many people are so manipulative and just feral. Like, just fucking feral, y'all. Like, they don't give a fuck. And they're willing to step on whoever, steal from whoever, manipulate anyone they can, and sell you a $10,000 ticket to their seminar where they regurgitate shit they heard on other people's podcasts or other people's platforms. And that's cool. Like, eventually people are going to catch on. But at the same time, like, we'll be on to the next thing. You cannot mimic authenticity because you can't make a move until that person makes their move. So it's like, do you? But you really don't have the flavor if you got to tell everyone you got the flavor.
Some people are stealing the flavor, but I'll just keep it there. I personally, so it is a thing inside of witchcraft. Some practices of witchcraft, not sharing the altar that you have for like various reasons. So I want to say, in case there are others who you don't share yours, whatever, I may not show specifics of what's on my altar, but like I teach people about creating their own altar and how to do things themselves and whatever. And I think that when someone puts themselves in a position where they're going to be mentoring and teaching people different ways of doing things, you should be, even if you're going to keep something to yourself, you should be sharing with them how they can do something for themselves. So then it's not like a gatekeeping thing, because there are a lot of people who would just be like, oh, you never show somebody your altar. And then they'll just leave it there. And there's somebody who's like trying to learn underneath them. That's like, well, I obviously have no idea what an altar even is. I know you don't want to tell me how you specifically do your spell working, like, but I'm needing advice for putting my spell together or whatever. And I think that it's really important, people in like spiritual mentorship roles, just because you don't do something doesn't mean that you shouldn't be showing the person that you're mentoring in case they're deciding to do something completely different. And that's on just like some personal fucking viewpoints, is I think don't ever put yourself into like you're a spiritual mentor or spiritual guidance in any fucking way when all you're showing is one specific thing. And those people are the ones who are charging you like $20,000 to go on a retreat out of the country so that they can sit there and tell you to breathe in and out and shuffle a couple cards.
I don't show my personal altar for myself. I show altars that I create for a spell, but you don't know why I created that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't know why I've included what I've included or whatever. I don't show my personal altar for me. No. And I'm not saying it's neither here nor there. I've just heard people be like, I would never do this. And I don't know what their umbrella is for that, but like, I don't show my personal altar that's in my home, like my altar.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I show altars that I create for clients, and I'm fine with that. Cause like, you're not going to fuck up the energy for my client. Like, I can show you this. It's temporary. As soon as the spell's over, it's dismantled, right? Like, it's not a long-standing altar, but like showing my personal altar, no. Like, I have a secret room at my house and I don't even let guests in there, like, ever. Like, no one's allowed in this room that I'm in. I don't give a fuck if you thought you knew me or not. Like, that's how you know if we're friends or not, if I let you in here. And the only person that's really been in here is Jack, and that's it. Like, nobody else has been in here because I don't want people in here. This is my special space. And, you know, Dusty Crusties could drive across the country and come to my house and they still didn't come in here. Period. Y'all can kick rocks. But the thing is,
no, I can tell you that when I come to Kentucky, I'm going in every fucking room in your house. I'm looking in your pantry. I'm seeing what snacks we have. Yeah, no, sir. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't invade a safe space like that. But I knew exactly what you were saying. And there are also people who will not show spell work that they do for other people and whatnot. I do. So there's that. I mean, there's not, I'm not going to put your name to it. I'm not going to be like, I just did this spell for Melissa. You know what I mean? Shout out. That wasn't a name drop for Melissa, but Melissa listens. So what to do?
I mean, deep down, I think so many people are caught up on like what the next witch is doing or what the next bitch is doing or whatever. And I think just like, keep your eyes on your own paper, baby. Keep your eyes on your own paper. Quit trying to cheat when we all got different copies of the test. You know, it's like, you're not going to get ahead by trying to steal from other people. You're not going to get ahead by trying to copy other people. Like, eventually, it runs out. Like, eventually, the well runs thin. And unfortunately, we live in a society where you see a viral status 19,000 times, and then now you got 5 people on your friends list that have copied it, and it's being shared from their platform. It's like, Facebook's paying you all fucking pennies on the views. Like, I think you got to get like 30,000 views or some shit to like make $5. Like, y'all are not that special. And unfortunately, the shit you post on its own could be special, but you're not authentic. You're just copying. So if you even got to the point where Facebook wants to pay you, it's because it seems like y'all are stealing from other creators. And that's why I've chose to decline all incentives from every platform, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. I don't want it. I use social media for shits and giggles. If you want to spend money with me, you can go to my Patreon or my website, but like, I'm not going to be on there like, I need interaction, everybody. Please click like. No, I'm not. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, it's just not me. It's inauthentic. And I just won't ever in my life make Facebook money. I just don't care. You know, like, I literally don't care enough to do that. And, you know, TikTok used to be really fun and they were paying their creators, and now they just don't. Like, now it's not that fun.
I have so many things. I think that TikTok does pay creators, but they're really pushing selling stuff from their shop. And that's why there's so many ads on things. And so, unfortunately, a lot of content that people are doing now is more of telling you what they got from that shop and whatever, and reviewing it, because that's the only way that they're really wanting to circulate people's videos. And we've talked about that before. Well, they'll just stop circulating any of the shit that you have. And there'll be like one or two times. I think the fucking most views I had in a while was on a video, and it was because I did a morning vlog and I didn't give my kid syrup on his pancakes because I didn't have any sugar-free syrup left. And it was like, you're an awful mom. You're going to give him an eating disorder. Like, I can't, who puts peanut butter on their pancakes? You're the meanest person ever. And then I got all kinds of amazing comments and follows too, but that's extremely rare and in between. And the stuff that you put your energy into to be creative, if you're not somebody at this point, currently, if you're not already somebody who has a crazy following, then you're not really getting interaction. And it's just because you're pushing something.
It's all rigged, y'all. And we just want to encourage everybody to be authentic, because what is meant for you will be for you. And you don't got to go chasing it. You don't got to go promoting it. It will naturally gravitate to you from a space of, this is mine and I support this. Like, this is what I support. And that's where we don't give a fuck if we get 5 views or 5,000 views. It is what it is. And we love every single one of you all equally and just really endlessly for supporting the podcast. And we're really just looking forward to what 2024 has to bring.
Yeah. Suck on my lollipop and we'll see you next time.
See you all next time. Bye.